rain coming. And he begins to tell the king, or sends his servant to tell the king, you get yourself ready. You need to go on down to Jezreel, that the rain stop thee not. The cynic would hear it. The skeptic might say, it hasn't rained in 3.5 years, and I don't see any sign of rain at all. But when the word of God comes to you, I want you to know there's the scent of rain, and there's the sound of an abundance of rain. And it came to pass in the meanwhile, the heaven turned black with clouds and wind, and there was a great rain. And Ahab rode and went to Jezreel. The hand of the Lord was on Elijah, and he girded his loins and ran before Ahab to the entrance of Jezreel. Praise God. There's an old song we used to sing in our home church in Baton Rouge that simply said, I hear the sound of abundance of rain. God's gonna pour out his spirit on all men. Like the days of old, revival's coming again. I hear the sound of abundance of rain. And sometimes in your prayer room, you get a little inkling and you can begin to hear it. And sometimes in a worship service, you can begin to hear it. And if you haven't been around very long, you might not know exactly what you're hearing. But I want to tell this church tonight, I'm hearing a sound like the sound of an abundance of rain. You might not, it might have been a while in your life, and our altars might not have been as busy as they have been in years past, but I hear the sound of an abundance of rain. He saw a man's hand, a cloud as small as a man's hand. And revival sometimes starts small. And you've heard those conversations about how tiny things can become great things, but it's like that in the spirit. And revival can start small, but it can build exceedingly fast. And this was going to be a great rain, and rain was what they needed. And you know, they had 3 years of seed in the ground that had not germinated. They had 3 years of work and toil and the wind-blown dirt out there. But when that rain began to fall, I'm telling you, everything's about to come alive. Everything's about to turn green. Everything is about to begin to be fruitful. Everything's about to turn around. When the rain comes, when the rain comes, when revival comes, everything is about to turn around. On your parched life, on your parched household, on your parched vision, new things are about to come up. Brother Rodney, it is so good to see you in the Lord's house tonight. We're so glad that God's raised you up and is keeping you, and we're praying God restore you completely. Are you praying that right now? I want you to stretch your hand toward him right now and just say that. Prophesy to him. God's going to restore you completely. God's going to raise you up in strength. God's going to give you everything that you need. He's going to do it in Jesus' name. Anybody believe that tonight? Give God some praise. Can God restore? Can God revive? Can God replenish? Can God refresh? Is there a witness and a testimony? Can somebody say he did it in my own life? Praise God. So 3 years is a long time. And rain is a type of revival. Here's Joel chapter 2 and verse 23. Be glad then, you children of Zion, and rejoice in the Lord your God, for he hath given you the former rain moderately, and he will cause the rain to come down for you, the rain, the former rain, and the latter rain in the first month, and the floor shall be full of wheat, and the fat shall overflow with wine and oil. And this is prophecy concerning Israel in the millennial. This is prophecy concerning the resurgence of Israel and the rebirth of Israel after the return of the Lord. But everything in the coming dispensation is going to be evidenced in the present dispensation in some sort of a typological or prophetic manifestation. Like in the tabernacle, you found evidences for what the gospel was going to be like, and what baptism was going to be, and what the presence of God was going to be like. And now in the church age, you find a lot of things that are characteristic of the millennial, and you and I are like little microcosms of what the life in the millennial will be. And this verse is chapter 2 of Joel, and it's talking about a resurgence of Israel. But when you find that, then you can attach yourself to that prophecy, and you can understand that prophecy is going to be applicable to the church, that there was a former, a previous outpouring, but there's going to be a greater outpouring in the end, or a latter rain, if you would. And some folks have gotten a little skittish about that terminology, but I believe that you can find a pervasive theme in the Word of God about revival, and that God does essentially save the best till last. And I really do believe that God has something great in his plan for the church age, not only for Israel. And on down in that chapter of Joel, you are familiar with this from Acts chapter 2. This is the reading in Joel chapter 2. And it shall come to pass afterward that I will pour out of my spirit upon all flesh, and that your sons and daughters shall prophesy, your old men shall dream dreams, your young men shall see visions. We're still in the context of a conversation about Israel resurgent and the former rain and the latter rain. He said, but after, I'm going to pour out of my spirit upon you, and your sons and daughters are going to prophesy. Your old men shall dream dreams, your young men shall see visions. And also upon the servants and upon the handmaids in those days will I pour out of my spirit. That is true for Israel in the millennial, but it's also indicative of the church age, because if you're familiar with Acts chapter 2, you know that the Apostle Paul, in reference to the inquiry of those in the street, said, this is that Joel was talking about, this that you saw and this that you heard, this is that was spoken by the prophet Joel, that in the last days, he said, the church age is connected to this prophecy about the millennial, and there's going to be rain in the millennial, and there's going to be an outpouring of the Spirit in the millennial, but there's going to be a great rain and a great outpouring of the Spirit in the church age. This is millennial Israel, but in the spirit and in the prophetic, this is a church. Everybody say, this is that. Yeah, this that we're walking in right now, this is prophetic. This that we're walking in right now, friend, we are in the middle of it. Israel's back in the land, and the nations are aligned, and Russia and its colleagues in the Middle East are there, just like a 2,600-year-old prophecy back in Ezekiel said they would be there, and the nations are aligned, and the things are coming to pass, and there's going to be revival in the end time, and we are those upon whom the ends of the age have come. But Peter, standing up with the 11, lifted up his voice and said to them, you men of Judea, and all ye that dwell at Jerusalem, be this known unto you, hearken to my words. These are not drunken as you suppose, seeing it is but the third hour of the day. But this is that was spoken by the prophet Joel. It'll come to pass in the last days. I'm going to pour out of my spirit. Now, when Elijah brings this news to Ahab, the king of Israel, and he loads up his chariots, and he begins to make his way back to the city of Jezreel, the Bible said that Elijah girded up his loins and ran before that chariot, ran before those horses all the way down to Jezreel. We don't have anything about how fast that movement was. We just know that he's in pretty good shape for an old man. And he runs and he outruns a team of horses all the way back to the city. And you can do your own computation about the distance, but it was a pretty good stretch from Mount Carmel all the way down to the gates of Jezreel. What is happening there? When revival comes, when the rain comes, when the resurgence and the replenishing comes, there is an anointing that comes, and it has an impact and it has an effect on natural things. And this is what Isaiah says about it. Have you not known? Have you not heard that the everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, fainteth not, neither is weary? There's no searching of his understanding. He giveth power to the faint. If you faint here tonight, I want you to know it's not over yet. And to them that have no might, he increases strength. And if you feel like you've been weakened by the things that have occurred in your life, and you feel like your strength has been sapped, I want you to know he gives power to those that are fainting. And he gives power and strength to those that have no might. Even the youth shall be faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall. There's a time so taxing and a time so debilitating and so crushing in its nature that even young men and young women run out of their zeal and their fervor for the things of God. And even the young men shall utterly fall. But everyone say, but they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. My God, if you get yourself in alignment and you get yourself in a position where God can canopy over your life, I'm telling you, there's going to be a revival for you personally. There's going to be a revival in your family. There's going to be a revival in your marriage. There'll be a revival in your body. My God, what's the potential of that? We can't measure it. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. If it's been a long time since you've had a fresh vision, I want you to know with revival comes increased power and increased vision. And God, on the updraft of revival, will raise you up to a place and breathe into you fresh vision. If it's been a while since you heard from God, I want you to know revival brings a fresh word from God. Somebody say praise the Lord. They'll mount up with wings as eagles. They'll run and not be weary. They'll walk and not faint. Revival, replenishing, renewal, refreshing. It's rain, and it's time for rain. And in our season, there's going to be rain. And we've had rain before, and you could label it the former rain. But we're going to have rain again. There's going to be a latter rain. There's going to be another season. And it's time for revival. Let's clap our hands into the Lord and bless his name. I want somebody to just really shout before the Lord right now. With your voice, loose your voice. I want somebody to shout with their body a little bit right now. We're not worried about the time. Take your time. Give him praise that he's worthy of. My God, my God, my God, my God. My God, I've got a locked door and you've got the key. My God, I've got a need, and you've got the answer. And I've come to praise you. And I've come to magnify you. And don't you dare let the devil have the last word. It's what Eve did in the garden. She let him have the last word. As long as she was talking back, she was doing all right. But when he spoke and she listened, then she got jammed up. But you need to talk back. You need to get in line for what God's doing. Now, this morning we talked about the fact that Elijah had a process for revival. He persisted in the adherence of the word. Nothing wrong with the word of God. Don't go astray. You keep your faith. You stand for the word of God, because the word of God is with you in the valleys and in the mountains, in times of drought and in times of revival. Life is seasonal. Strange things happen. We don't choreograph all that, but our job is to stand strong and believe the word of God and be the light of the world and speak forth the word of God. Somebody that loves his word said amen. Somebody that's not going anywhere, but that you're going to be found standing for the word of God, you go ahead and say amen. Somebody that's not intimidated by the day or the culture or the conditions of the season, but you've fallen in love with the word of God. Elijah persisted in the word of God, and he was isolated and he was opposed, but that doesn't move us, because we've fallen in love with his word, and his word is the most important thing. He follows the leading of the Spirit into the wilderness and into a Gentile ministry and into all those areas. He stands up and he speaks out and he defines the terms of his day. He bows up against Ahab, who says, "You are the problem with Israel." And he said, "No, it's you and your fathers and your following after Baal." So don't let your world establish the conditions of the conversation, and don't let your world define the terms, but you stand up in your knowledge of the word of God and you say, "Thus saith the word of God," and you persist in that word of God. I'm just telling you what Elijah did and what the process was like and what brought revival, and I just want you to know those same components are going to be a part of revival in our day. Don't you dare let the world have the last word, and don't let the devil have the last word. You make sure God has the last word. If it's your last breath, you say what God has proclaimed. Elijah repairs the altar. He gives them a process. He doesn't build a new altar. He rebuilds. There's this anatomy of revival and a continuity of revival. And the old ways are the best ways. And he goes back and rebuilds those things. And in a season of drought, don't be like Naomi and her husband that leave the house of bread and go looking for something somewhere else. But you remember the old ways and you build up and repair that altar that somebody else has left in disrepair, and then put some precious things on it. He put a sacrifice on it, and he had them pour barrel after barrel of precious scant water on that sacrifice, because it was a time of drought. Make sure your altar is that altar that was built by elders that came before you, and make sure you have something that is of value on that altar. And then God answered by fire, and Elijah and Israel started cleaning house, and they took out all the false prophets of Baal and the prophets of the groves, and God answered by fire, and then they began to clean house, and they began to clean, and then God began to clean, as it were, because water is a type of a cleansing agent. In the story of Noah, the water washes the sin of the world away, and in the story of the Exodus, the water washes Pharaoh and his host away, and rain in this instance is a type of cleansing of the earth. It's like God saying, "Okay, I see your repentance. Okay, I see your sacrifice. All right, I hear the voice of the people saying, 'The Lord, he is God. The Lord, he is the God.'" And he said, "Now I'm going to pour out cleansing rain upon you." Revival is a cleansing agent. Revival touches everybody, inspires everybody, makes everybody want to get closer to God. Revival makes everybody want to reboot their prayer life. Revival lifts everybody like a rising tide lifts all ships. I want you to know that when revival comes, it inspires and stimulates and calls forth the best out of everybody. Praise God. And so in this story of the process of Elijah, revival's kind of an all-encompassing term. And it's a revival of the word of God, and it's a revival of the Spirit of God, and it's a revival of people having passion for the word of God. And I so appreciate our coaches with our quiz group tonight, and I so appreciate our quizzers who are hiding the word of God in their hearts and perpetuating the word of God on down to another to another generation. It's something worth shouting about. It really, really is. And so revival is a revival of the Word of God. And people begin studying, and people begin prophesying, and people begin walking in the promise of the Word. And revival is a revival of the Spirit. And people begin to pray, and folks begin to speak in tongues, and the gifts of the Spirit begin to move. And revival is a revival of action. People begin to do things they weren't doing before revival began to break loose. And it's a thing that calls forth courage and faith. And as people align with the kingdom of God, their passion is reignited. And it's just good wall to wall good for us as the people of God. We can't live without vision. We cannot live without revival. We've got to have a move of God. We've got to have revival. However you define it, however you intend to get it, somebody's got to start leaning in toward those things that God has promised. Somebody's got to start leaning in and laying claim to what God has made available to His church. When you begin to have a move of God, and we call that in a generic sense revival, there is a manifestation of the Spirit. It is like wind, like Acts chapter 2. There was a rushing mighty wind. It filled all of those that were in the house. And when you're having revival, the Spirit of God begins to move. It'll move across a congregation. And you can, if you're standing at a distance, you can see it hitting. You can see it like blowing stalks of grain in a field and people coming under the influence of the Spirit of God. Revival is a revival of the Spirit and a manifestation of the Spirit, and the cleansing fire of the Holy Ghost begins to move when we have revival, and there is something like spiritual rain that begins to fall and something like oil that begins to get on you, and the anointing begins to move. There's a manifestation of the Word. It's like seed that breaks forth. It's like a sword that begins to commit warfare against the enemy. It's like a hammer that begins to break the rock into pieces. It's like an anvil that gives you a place to leverage yourself against the things that are coming against your family and your life. It's like a plow that breaks up. Revival is like a plow that breaks up the hard ground and the inaccessible places, and it's like an ingathering. It's like a harvest. It's like a net filled up, this realignment. Here's a picture of millennial revival in Amos. In that day I'll raise up the tabernacle of David that is fallen, close up the breaches thereof. The tabernacle of David was the second iteration of the tabernacle. And it was after a long season. It represented a revival in Israel because David was the psalmist of Israel, and David was instrumental in bringing a greater spiritual awareness and a revival into Israel, especially after much of the debacles during the time of the judges and the first king Saul. But David brings Israel back to spiritual life. And here in Amos, God said, I'm going to raise up again the tabernacle of David. The tabernacle of David was different than the tabernacle of Moses in that it was oriented toward praise and worship. We don't know as much about it as we know about the tabernacle of Moses, but I will tell you, characteristic of David's tabernacle was worship. And I'm just going to tell you, when revival begins to move, worship begins to move. People that have not moved in years begin to move in the Spirit. It's an updraft. It catches everybody. It'll catch your children that are disconnected and maybe not that passionate. It'll catch your young people that are maybe hearing the voice of the world outside, and it begins to bring everybody to a higher level of passion and intensity in the kingdom of God. I'm just telling you, we have to have revival, and revival is the answer to almost everything. I could make that generic statement. Revival is the answer to everything. I could qualify that quite a bit, but I'll tell you, we can't live without it. We can't persist without it, and the church cannot endure without it. I'll raise up the tabernacle of David that's fallen, close the breaches thereof. I'll raise up his ruins. I'll build it as in the days of old. So again, not some new thing, but reaching back to that that's already established and making it real, actualizing it in your day, that they may possess the remnant of Edom and all the heathen that are called by my name, saith the Lord, that doeth this. He said, when revival comes and you have a rebirth of the praise and the worship and the discipline of praise and worship, and you're yielded to that and given to that, he said, I'm going to give you dominion over Edom. Now, that comes from Esau, and he's also called Edom, and they become the Edomites, but they are a type of your earthly experience, your worldly experience that doesn't really plug into the spiritual things of God. So then you have that conflict between Jacob and Esau, and God said, Jacob have I loved, and Esau have I hated. And so Esau is that part of you. Edom is that part of you that lags behind, that part of you that's not altogether given to the things of God. You have both of those natures inside of you. But God said, when revival comes and we restore the tabernacle of David and you begin to get your worship as intense as it needs to be, God's going to give you victory over the land of Edom. God's going to give you victory over that flesh, and victory over that carnal man, and victory over that part of you that is not sold out to God. Let's practice just a minute. Let's praise God here just a minute. Somebody talk in tongues. Shout it in tongues. Rebuild, restore the tabernacle of David. God will give you dominion over your Esau. And all of the heathen, I'm going to give you possession over the remnant of Edom and all the heathen. And when you restore the tabernacle of David, and when you take dominion over your Esau and your Edom, then God's going to give you possession over the heathen. God's going to give you an influx. God's going to give you the community that you live in, the place that you work, those that are in your family that you've been trying to win to God. Somebody say, praise God. Praise God. I believe, Brother Matt, I believe Eric Orton, your HVAC guy, is going to come to church, and I believe he's going to come down to the altar, and I believe he's going to talk in tongues. It'll sound like that what he does, because he's going to talk in tongues really fast because he talks fast about everything. And my stars, I don't know what he'll be like when he begins to worship, because just talking to him about normal conversation, he's like this. And I'm like, I don't hear the music, Eric. I don't know what you're moving to, buddy. But he is I know he's not on meth because he's got all his teeth. And he seems to be pretty clear about his craft. But I'll tell you, believe with me. Pray with me. I've been pitching him on Bible study. I believe he's coming. But when we get the house of David right, and we get Esau under our foot, then God's going to give us those that you've been looking at for a while. Those that seem like they're out of reach. Those that seem like you can't get a foot in the door with them. God's going to give us a heathen. This is the word of God. Hear ye the word of God. Behold, the days come, saith the Lord, that the plowman shall overtake the reaper. The harvest is going to be so plentiful, they can't get the harvest accumulated, they can't get it gathered before it's time to start plowing again. Our systems are going to fail because of the measure of revival that God is going to give us. I'm just telling you, we're not going to have enough seating. We're not going to have enough balcony. I know you're up there safe right now, but God's going to send so many that you're going to be shoulder to shoulder in the balcony. Anybody believe that? Say, how do you know it? I know it because the Word of God says it. But I know it because it's been true in every building we've ever been in, and it's going to be true in this building. We're going to have chairs down here and chairs down the aisle and people sitting in the foyer. Right now, somebody ought to be saying, that's my loved one that's coming. That's my daddy that's coming. That's my mama that's coming. That's my brother that's coming. That's my backslider that's coming. That's my neighbor. Revival, revival, revival. It's the answer to everything. The plowman's going to overtake the reaper, and the treader of grapes, him that soweth seed. So it's going to be our system is going to back up. We're not going to have, you know what? We were building. I had the prints. I had already put money down. Sister Pam, it's good to see you in the house of the Lord. Praise God. I'm glad for what God's doing. On Ruffner Road, we had the prints. I had put money down. We had invested already in all of the groundwork and the survey and all of those things and the permits. We were just a click away from pulling the trigger on building a new sanctuary in the back of that building on Ruffner Road. And we had had a big old sanctuary with a great big platform and room for about 800 people on the floor in that place. And we wouldn't have had one more Sunday school class, hardly. We wouldn't have had a gym. We wouldn't have had a commercial kitchen. We wouldn't have had all of these Sunday school classrooms. And we wouldn't have room for the school like we do. I'm telling you, God knows what's coming more than we know what's coming. And God has given us a barn. And God never gave you a barn without a harvest in mind. Yes, that's right. Yes, that's right. My God, somebody feels like shouting right now. You ought to go ahead and shout. Can you see somebody you love already in the altar? Can you see somebody you love already in a revival service? Yes, yes, yes. And the mountains shall drop sweet wine. It, in the middle of revival, it just gets so good, you just want to lay out in the floor and soak it up. And all the hills shall melt. And I'll bring again the captivity of my people of Israel. This is, again, millennial Israel. And they shall build the waste cities and inhabit them. And they shall plant vineyards, drink the wine thereof. They shall make gardens and eat the fruit of them. It's going to be a productive, effective harvest. And we're going to be the cultivated field of God. Somebody say, praise God. Revival, in a qualified sense, and please don't make me go there, revival is the answer to everything. You don't, unless you're Sarah, you don't get your youth back. And that was an abbreviated season of time for her. And unless you're Lazarus, you don't get your life back. There are still some existential realities, right? But revival answers all questions. Revival is as good as it gets in the existential. It's realignment with God. It's refreshing. It's repentance. It's reorientation. And here's what Paul says about it. The kingdom of God is not meat and drink, but righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. in the midst of revival, in the midst of the kingdom, as God intended the kingdom, you are able to do and be the right thing that God has called you to do. If you're struggling right now and you're fighting against it, well, I'm glad you're struggling and I'm glad you're fighting, but I'm telling you, God's got victory for you. But we need revival church-wide. We need revival that touches the individual, that touches the family, that touches the neighborhood, that touches the church-wide. Peace and joy. God promises us characteristic of the kingdom. Now, this is one of those places. Characteristic of the millennial are things like righteousness, peace, and joy, because God's going to rule over the whole world. Well, you are supposed to be a microcosm of that. You are to be an entity that God has complete rule over. And then you are a microcosm of the millennial because you have the peace of God in your life. And that is light to your world. And that's the intent of God. And you walk with joy in your life. I'm just telling you what the Bible says the kingdom of God is like. And if you're struggling in those areas, we need revival. You need revival. I need revival. We need a moving of God. We need rain. We need to get our process right, rebuild the old altars. And come on, if you know some things you need to do to make yourself back in alignment with God, you need to get after it, because it's that kind of day. Come on, we need to put down the social media and put down the distractions and put down the things that are stealing our time and our passion and our devotion, and begin to focus on the things of God, because God... I don't know if that was God's hand out there over the sea or a cloud that looked like God's hand. But I'm going to go ahead and imagine tonight that that is God's hand, and he's got that storm in the palm of his hand, and he's waiting on Israel to reposition herself and cause herself to be back in alignment with God. And then God says, whew, and he lets it go. I want you to know there's a hand in this place. Yeah, there's a spiritual strong man in this city. Yeah, there are adversaries. Yes, there are obstacles. But there's nothing here bigger than our God. And right now, there's God's hand in the distance with a revival for every one of us, for every home and every family, for every prayer, for every workplace. There's a revival in the hand of God right now. And whatever you need to be or do that causes God to loose that, I want you to begin to press in toward that. Praise God. I know you're praying. I know you're faithful. I know you're worshiping. I know you're doing a lot of things right. But I'm just telling you, just a little bit more in some areas, just a little more energy in some others, just some little more attentiveness in some other areas. And revival starts small, but it grows quickly. Jesus said, the thief comes not but to steal, to kill, to destroy. But I am come that they might have life, and that more abundantly. He doesn't want us to have a church experience that just kind of clunks on with some sort of pattern of normality without those accentuating outpourings of his spirit. I'm just telling you, it's getting a little bit too predictable around here. It's getting a little bit too empty down here. It's getting a little too quiet. And I know we're dancing with Corona, and I know how difficult it's been the last 2 years. But I also know what the will and purpose of God is. I know what the promise of the Word of God is. And is there anybody here hungry for a move of God and hungry for revival? Praise God. Brother Sam, Lindsay, somebody come help. Come give them some hope. As it was in Israel, the existential environment is affected by revival. We believe in redemptive lift. We believe that when God comes to the life of an individual, here's an individual. We believe that when God comes to the life of a 14-year-old boy, that God can open up a panorama of possibility before him that was not available to him in his house or his neighborhood or his family. And I look at him. I met Sister Leslie coming down the hall with a baby carriage this morning. And I thought, look at God. Look at what God does. Look at the potential in the kingdom of God. Look at how good God is. My God, redemptive lift is a real thing. Redemptive lift is real in an individual, in a home, in a family, for a lot of practical reasons and for a lot of spiritually dynamic reasons. Marriages get better. Families get better. Communities get better. And the church gets better. I want you to, how many of you love Brother Larry Booker? Do you know that tonight there's somebody like Larry Booker in the city of Birmingham? That long, rangy, long-haired hippie freak would go to bed at night, and if you watched him during the day, you would never have the slightest idea. He was out drinking and drugging and carousing and fighting and acting like a fool. I sat and I had lunch with him in a building that had been modified into a restaurant, but it was the old courthouse and jailhouse for the city of Pueblo, Colorado. And we're eating, and he said, I was locked up in here. He said, and they hated me. And he said, I took my mattress, and I stopped up the drain, and I turned on all the taps, and I flooded it out, and I was in an upstairs cell. And it flooded upstairs, and it flooded downstairs. And he said, when they came for me, they beat me black and blue. They beat, and he needed beaten black and blue. He did. But you know what? That guy would go to sleep at night hugging this big old hippie Jesus Bible. And one night down in his basement, he almost got the Holy Ghost and had no idea what it was. It was just delicious, and it was tingling all over him and causing him to jerk. And he was talking to God in his clumsy, inarticulate way. He was talking to God, and God was reaching for him. I want you to know there's somebody just like that in this city tonight. There's somebody just like that, and they don't know how to get here, and we don't know where they are, but revival brings us together. Revival creates these intersections between the hungry and those that have the bread. And my goodness, I got a text this morning from Brooke and Nathan, and they're over there for Joy's wedding, and I don't know how they wound up in Rialto, but they're going to church in Rialto tonight. And I just tell you, it's a great church. It's a beautiful place. And his son, Joel, is pastoring that church now. And it's just a generational flow of good things and anointing. And God is just blessing. And friend, if you take a picture of him as a long, lanky teenager, and now you take a picture of him and that legacy and what he's done and how many people he's blessed, you come and tell me you don't believe in redemptive lift. But I'll tell you, there is no end to what God can do with one individual. And Jeff Arnold was outside, but Jeff Arnold has blessed every one of us. And Morel Cornwell was outside, but Morel Cornwell has blessed every one of us. When Brother Cornwell first came to church, he sat right down in the front row, and all he was wearing was a pair of plaid shorts. And he's a long, lanky, he looks like Ichabod Crane. He's long and lanky, and he was just sprawled out on that front pew. And he had no idea about what church was or how to live for God or anything like that. But he's in the house of God. I'm just telling you what revival brings in. The church needs a Jeff Arnold. The church needs a Larry Booker. The church needs a Morel Cornwell. And they're out there. And revival brings that. Revival draws that. Revival opens that possibility. And what more shall I say? For time would not allow for us to speak of Randy Williams. He was out in trouble in the streets of Pueblo himself. And now he's pastoring that great rock church down in Fort Myers, Florida. I just want you to know, God's got plans for you. God's got plans for your family. God's got plans for the church. Revival is the answer. Praise God. How many of you either worked for or were blessed by the glass doctor in the years that brother and sister, Brother Jerry and Sister Sarah? I got a hand. Keep your hand up. Put your hand up high. Out there's another one that worked for. There's one in the back that worked for. Up there, Abby worked for them. Dawson, is there anybody you have not worked for? Josh, anybody? I saw another one over here. Sister Bonnie worked for them. And Justin, who has his own glass company now and his own CPA. And how many of you, you know, we were signing a rental agreement on that old clapboard building on Highway 11. We were signing because we were coming out of the storefront. We were moving to the city. That was revival. Now, I'll just tell you, if I took you to that little white building tonight, you wouldn't be all excited about it. But I was hysterical. I was absolutely excited. I was so excited, I couldn't stand it. And we were sitting there, and he's a Baptist, recently converted Baptist in a fundamentalist Baptist church. And he is hungry for God, and he wants to know about the Holy Ghost, and he wants to be a soul winner. So I break out. I go out to my little Honda Civic, and I get that Bible study chart, and I bring it inside, and I start selling him on Bible study. And one thing led to another, and he said, I'm going to tell my wife we're going to have a Bible study. Well, he went home, and it didn't go over really big, because Sarah knew about apostolic people, and he didn't know that she knew. She said, Jerry, you don't know these people. Jerry, you don't want to bring these people to your house. But you know how Jerry was. I miss him. I miss seeing him go when the Holy Ghost moves. And I went to their home and taught them a Bible study. And that little revival in that home blessed and strengthened and touched this many people in our church family. You never know who's coming in that place. And because Sarah started coming, then Kim started coming. And because Kim started coming, Tim started coming. And because they were coming, Kayla and Kyle started coming. And because Kyle was here, you romantic dog, Katie came from Mississippi. I'm just telling you, there's a connectivity to revival. And you don't know how far that's going to go. And I saw somebody back there dancing with Kina tonight. Where is she? Mosh babies. Oh, there she is with Auntie Dina. Yeah. And you don't know it, baby girl, but you're just the latest down the pike from what a little bit of revival did. Hey, somebody feed this baby. Feed the baby. So, but you see what I'm saying. You don't know where it's going to go. You don't know what's going to happen. You don't know how far it'll reach. You don't know how big it can get. You don't. We need revival. I hear the sound of an abundance praying. Can anybody hear that? Can anybody hear that? Does anybody believe that? Does anybody want that? Praise God. Let's clap our hands. Let's lift our voice. Let's stand together. Praise God. Revival in Israel. Revival in prophecy. Revival in... Let's see. How many of you are out of that Buongiorno revival? We got them on the floor here. You know what God will do? Hey! Do you plan to get married? Do you plan to get married? Do you? You're all ready. Is your wife out there somewhere? Rodney? Yeah? Yes, yes, and yes. Do you know that you can win her to God? Do you know that revival answers everything? We could have a revival of 150 of the most beautiful young ladies that ever lived in the city of Birmingham. Now, you know what just happened? You know what just happened? This crowd over here just went. No, 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 don't do that. Don't do that. Because when they come, you know what comes with them? 150 boys come with them. Well, I'm just saying, do you plan to have a guy in your life? Do you plan to get married at some point? Hush, Josh. Do you? Jeff, Molly, uh-oh. You can whisper it. Do you plan to get married someday? Yes. Yes, that was a yes. She does. You know what we need? We need revival. We need revival. If you want a fella to come, that's the fella that you need. That's the fella that'll live for God, and he'll be a good husband to you. You need to be down here shouting and dancing. My God, sing that, sing that, sing that. Come on, let's raise up the tabernacle of David. Let's rebuild the altar. Let's get ready for revival. You're not going to shout. You don't want to look desperate. Shout for revival. Don't shout because you're desperate. Shout for revival. God will take care of the details. Come on, church. Worship, church. Talk in tongues, church. Ignite a revival, church. Pray a prayer. Speak a prophecy. Brother Travis, statue, Sis Dakota, California, Dakota. If you could hear him tonight, he could tell you they were out in this city. They were doing what my wife and I did. They were studying the Word of God, and they were looking for a church that would baptize them in Jesus' name. They came looking for the church. That doesn't happen by accident. That happens by the moving of the Spirit of God. Because when you're standing here tonight and you're worshiping, you're standing in your praise and your worship tonight, waters begin to fill the temple. Waters begin to flow out of the house of God, out into the city. The water of the Spirit of God found Travis and Dakota. And they came, and they found the church. While you're worshiping tonight, while you're praying tonight, while you're talking in tongues tonight, somebody's feeling something. Somebody's getting an idea. Somebody's getting a draw. God is opening up a doorway. God's opening a connection. Praise God. Sing that one more time. Let's worship a little bit further. A little bit more.
Holy Spirit, burning flame, winter.
Let's clap our hands into him and bless his name. I want you out of your own heart and out of your own spirit tonight. I want you to pray, God, we need revival. God, send revival. God, lay your hand on us. God, make us fruitful. Whatever your prayer is, pray it right now. Seek for it right now. Prophesy about it right now. An open door, the drawing of God. Let it rain, God. Let it rain, God. Let it rain. Let it rain. Let it rain. Let the rain fall. Let the water flow. Let the city be moved by it. Let your kingdom come, oh God. And I saw Caleb, and that's a product of Masonry Arts revival. I saw Gabby and Zach's little baby this morning, and Gabby is the product of that Masonry Arts revival. There's revival in the city. There's revival in your neighborhood. There's revival in your family. All over this house right now, talk in tongues. Let the Spirit of God pray a prayer. Let the Spirit of God pray a prayer. Right, 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 right. Everybody, everybody talking in tongues. Push that, push that, stretch that a little bit. Latino revival. Sunday school teachers in a revival. Praise group singers in a revival. Musicians in a revival. Praise God. Revival answers everything. Praise God. When you're having revival, I'm just going to tell you this. When you're having revival, let me give you the flip side. We bought this church from a dying, old, immovable, intractable church. In a loose sense of the word. That to me would be like hell on earth. I'd rather be in a bar room than in that. But I'll tell you, some of you older ones, maybe you, Brother Travis, you're still relatively young. But one day we'll be sitting in some rockers back in the foyer or somewhere, wherever they keep us. Take care of us. But death, aging, none of that is going to be a specter that causes any great fear or regret if I'm in the middle of a revival church. I'm just telling you, if I'm in the middle of a revival church, nothing is going to move us. Everything will have been worth it all. Praise God. God bless you. I love you. It's so good to be in the house of the Lord. Once more, clap your hands, lift your voice. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you. Thank you, Jesus. Almighty God, we magnify your name. Praise God. God bless you. Share your victory and your love with one another. We're going to do this again on Wednesday night.